Temptations. They come to every one of us. A temptation is a trick, a deception, a lie. It conceals the truth and presents falsehood to us as the truth. A temptation may even offer us something good, but entices us to use it in a false and selfish way. Temptations lure us into doing or saying or thinking something that does not reflect who we really are as sons and daughters of the Most High God. A temptation tries to convince us with a false charm, but is not there to help us to pick up the pieces and deal with the guilt afterwards. A temptation conceals from us the true road to peace and joy and happiness, giving us instead the illusion of a quick and easy way to find what is really good and worthwhile in life. A temptation is therefore, you could say, sneaky, offering us what appears to be a quick fix, but in reality, a quick disaster. A temptation is therefore irrational and has no sense. A temptation hopes we will not use our brains, because if we do use our brains, when temptation comes, we will quickly notice how foolish following a temptation would be. It is no wonder that temptation succeeds best during those times when our brains are not at our full potential. For example, when under the influence of alcohol, or drugs, or tired, or under stress. Is there anything more deceptive and sneaky and two-faced than temptations? Now, in this morning's gospel, we hear the famous account of Christ's temptation in the desert by the devil. This is always the gospel for the first Sunday of Lent. Here, Christ willingly underwent this humiliation in order to set us an example to fight temptation and to show us the value he sets on our eternal salvation. Now, the three temptations of Christ correspond to what we call in theology the threefold concupiscence. Use that phrase this week in a sentence. That is, the three common ways in which we experience temptation to sin. In other parts of the scriptures, the three ways are summed up as lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Or to put it very simply, lust, greed, pride. Lust of the flesh is physical lust, whether it be for food, sex, drugs, comfort, whatever. Lust of the eyes is greed. And pride of life is simply pride, having a false view of oneself. Now remember, sin entered the world when Adam and Eve gave into this threefold concupiscence. Lust, greed, pride. The first reading from the book of Genesis says that Eve looked at the fruit and saw that it was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirous to make one wise. In other words, she had lust, greed, and pride. Now, in Christ's temptation in the desert, what does our Lord do? He undoes Eve's threefold disobedience. First, Satan tempts him in the area of lust. Turn these stones to bread. He was hungry. He was desiring food. Then pride. Satan takes our Lord to the most public place in all of Israel, the temple, and encourages him to perform a miraculous stunt that would make him an instant celebrity, receiving easy fame and admiration from the people. They would listen to him after seeing that stunt. Finally, greed. He shows our Lord all the power and glory of the kingdoms of the world and offers it to him as if they were not already our Lord's. Yet, in every case, Christ responds to Satan's temptations by remembering the word of God. Of course, this is what Adam and Eve had failed to do. They refused to remember and obey the command of God in the Garden of Eden. Now, as I mentioned, this Sunday is the first Sunday of the sacred season of Lent. The priest now wears violet in order to symbolize sorrow for sins and penance. You notice there's no Gloria or Alleluia in the Mass in order to set the penitential tone of the season. There is less organ. The music is simpler. Right? The Mass is, quote-unquote, more solemn. We'll be chanting the Creed today. Now, for the same duration of the time that our Lord was in the desert, 40 days, we are supposed to enter into 40 days of self-mortification in Lent as well. Lent is a time when Holy Mother Church calls us to focus on the state of our souls, to look where we're at with our relationship with God, and to purify it as we approach the great Feast of Feasts, Easter Sunday. Yet we can often miss out on the full meaning and effect of Lent, and consequently Easter. So to put it simply, Lent is the time to focus full force on combating our sins. The three main temptations we face in our day-to-day lives, no matter how old we are actually the same temptations that Adam and Eve and our Lord faced. Lust, greed, and pride. Whether we lust for food, for sex, for alcohol. Whether or not we want to be popular or powerful, well-known, rich in this life. Whether or not we want people to always like us and view us as someone who we, in reality, are not. These all fall into those three main temptations of lust, greed, and pride. You know, when we give in to these temptations, we actually end up only desiring more in life. We are never satisfied with lust. We are never satisfied with power. We are never satisfied with pride. Why? Because they can't satisfy us. We should stop for a moment and think about our lives. Where in our lives do we struggle with any of these three temptations? Now, Lent is a time for an increase of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. These three acts are actually meant to help us resist the threefold concupiscence of our fallen nature, lust, greed, and pride. We're meant to control our temptations and not be controlled by them. By fighting against them, we're recognizing that sin keeps us away from growing closer to God. So, for example, fasting combats lust in general, teaching us to have control over our physical desires, as well as helping us to restrain ourselves against other sorts of desires, such as sins of impurity. In other words, if we can say no to food by fasting, we build the power within ourselves to be able to say no to the temptation to look or do impure actions as well. It's all connected. Now, fasting does not mean to starve ourselves, right? It is a self-restraint on food. So, let's think. Do we have any fasting built into our Lenten disciplines right now? If not, how about working up to it through small ways of self-mortification? For example, choosing not to put any salt or pepper on our food, or not putting any salad dressing on our lettuce. Things like that. No sugar in our coffee. To not have soda at meals. These are small ways which will slowly build our self-restraint to be able to combat temptations of lust in our life more. By saying no to neutral things, right, like salt, soda, etc., it gives us strength to say no to big things that are actually bad for us, like pornography, drunkenness, drug use, etc. Now, almsgiving combats greed, teaching us to be detached from our wealth, our power, our popularity, and to give of ourselves more to others. You know, often we think of charitable organizations, giving to charitable organizations for almsgiving. That's good. If we can't commit to giving of our time to a charitable organization this Lenten season, well, start small and commit to purposely being more present to others who need you. Right? You can help someone with their homework when you really don't want to. Or if you have people that you live with, to do all the dishes for your housemates in your apartment when you really don't want to. Or, even better, this is lots of grace achievable, to clean your public bathroom in your apartment, even when you don't want to. These are selfless acts that help us give of ourselves to others. They combat greed, which has us focused on ourselves all the time. Greed says, it's all about me. Meology, the theology of me. Finally, prayer combats pride, because prayer is the humble acknowledgement that we need God's help, that we cannot do this life on our own. The common methods of prayer, the Mass, the Rosary, the Stations of the Cross, Eucharistic Adoration, reading from Scriptures, petition, and thanksgiving, right? All these are a means to an end, to open our hearts to Christ. That's the purpose of them. You know, I don't do math, what are we, 5 days or so into Lent already? Is our prayer life any different than before Lent? If it's not, okay, well, let's start small. How about committing to going to a daily Mass, at least once a week if your schedule allows it? Or going to the Stations of the Cross on Fridays? We have to put prayer more into our week this Lent. Lust, greed, and pride. These are the most common sins in our day-to-day lives. And these sins, when we give in to them, can have eternal consequences. Therefore, during Lent, with our eyes focused on heaven, we should be combating temptations to these sins with prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. After all, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are the tools we need to fight these temptations. It's as if the church knew exactly what she was doing on this first Sunday of Lent to tell us about. However, unless we start small, we will not be able to carry through with our Lenten disciplines. Temptations come and go, but with the grace of God and a disciplined routine, we can combat them. Christ desires us to fight temptation and sin in our lives because he knows it's worth it. He knows how happy we will be if we do, because he knows how he's created us to live. He knows us through and through. Authentic fulfillment in this life flows from a clean conscience and a holy life, not from having a great job, not from having great physical strength, from a clean conscience and a holy life. Unless we start living for our Lord, we will always long for more and more. As St. Augustine summed it up so simply, as I said before, our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord. Out of love for our salvation, our Lord became all things but sin for us, even undergoing temptation in the desert. He showed us that we are not to be slaves to temptation, but are to combat it head on. He remains secure against the temptation of lust, greed, and pride. What small ways this Lent are we able to do the same?